You're welcome. All right, our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-91, Highland Development Corporation.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, dividing 195.93 acres into 420 lots within the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone and located south of Route 24, approximately 1 mile west of Road 309, excuse me. This application has also been reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments.
Mr. Wheatley, the TAC report of May 18th of 2005 will be made a part of the record. We received a letter from DelDOT expressing opposition to this application. I'll pass down a copy of that. That'll be made a part of the record. They did note that they were opposed to this application, but there were, if the commission did approve it, there's conditions that they would like incorporated into the approval. As I said, that'll be made a part of the record. And today we received comments from Sussex County Engineering Department. The site's located in a current or proposed county-operated sanitary sewer district in the Oak Orchard planning area. Wastewater capacity is available for the project. It had to be built to ordinance 38 requirements. There are no system connection charge credits available. There's no service to this parcel at this time, and they would need to contact the engineering department and submit a concept plan for their approval. That'll be made a part of the record, and the applicants also submitted a revised plan. Each of you has been provided a copy of that. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. I believe Mr. Sergovic is here representing this application.
May it please the commission, my name is John Sergovic with Sergovic and Ellis in Georgetown. The way we were going to present the application is the Chris Carbel, who's an engineer from the Atlantic Group, Inc. from Berlin, will present the cluster design. Brian Carbel, who's now with the Artesian Utility, is the best way to explain it, was here to talk about on-site sewer, but we found out today from Mr. Izzo that the sewer district, the Oak Orchard Sewer District, has been expanded to include this area. But Brian then will talk about how he can integrate the community now until sewer can be received. Basically, the application is for a cluster development in an environmentally sensitive developing district, and that's identified on the comp plan at page 10, column 1, second paragraph. It specifically identifies this property. The property is located ideally for development on the Indian River and I think it's Swan Creek, but Mr. Carbel will discuss that. One thing I would like to note up front, that in rechecking the application tonight right before we came here, I realized that there was probably a miscalculation on the number of lots. It's over the maximum required. The plot plan shows 420, and math's not my strong suit by any means. But if I divide the 195.93 acres times the number of square feet in an acre, and then I divide by 21,780 under subsection 3, you only get 391 lots, not 420. So some of our lots, and it'll be obviously where we're going to change those lots. There's only one section of the entire community where we have lots backing onto other lots, and Ms. Carmine will explain that when she talks about land use compliance and comprehensive plan compliance. But I think if I read the ordinance correctly, I think the engineers divided the total by 20,000, which you could easily interpret the way the ordinance is laid out, but if you look at the text, the plot plan is over. It wasn't caught by anybody except for me, and I could be wrong, but if we don't want, we're not seeking anything more than what the ordinance requires. So if my math is correct and the engineers are wrong, we're reducing the number of lots to 391.
Mr. Lang, that's not an issue if it's less, is it?
No, we don't have a problem less. We just have a problem more.
No, it's definitely less. Again, my math could be wrong, but I rechecked it again, and I think that when I divided by 21,780 and the gross number of acres, the lot yield is 391. I just wanted to make that correction up front. I didn't want anybody potentially approving something that was greater than it should be.
With that said, pointing that out. Thank you.
With that said, I'd like to introduce Mr. Carbo from Atlantic Group, Inc.
Oh, we do have a booklet that contains all the information that's required by 99.9. I think when you look at the plan, it's almost self-evident that the plan meets the design concept for the cluster development, which is providing a total environment and design which are superior in the reasonable judgment of the Planning Commission to that which would be allowed under a standard subdivision. Ms. Corbel.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen. My name is Chris Carball. I am a landscape architect with the Atlantic Group and Associates. I am licensed in the state of Delaware and have 12 years experience planning and designing residential communities. On behalf of Highland Development Corporation, I'd like to use this opportunity to, one, familiarize the board with the site, two, summarize the project goals, concept, and other project considerations, review the proposed plans, address compliance with Chapter 99, and answer any questions the board may have regarding the site plan or application. On the aerial map to my left, you can see that the project is located on the south side of Route 24, approximately 2 miles east of Millsboro, Delaware. The parcel is 195.93 acres. The Indian River on the south and Swan Creek on the west border the property. The Bullseye Landing Ferry Preserve abuts the property to the east, which is owned by the Nature Conservancy. The existing zoning for the property is AR1 Agricultural Residential. The site contains 21.14 acres of tidal wetlands and 1.94 acres of non-tidal wetlands, as illustrated on the exhibit to my left. The remaining upland area consists of 16 acres of forest and 156 acres of agricultural land. The property is located in the growth area and the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. Emergency services are currently provided by the Millsboro Volunteer Fire Department. Police protection is provided by the Delaware State Police. Shopping and business opportunities are conveniently located in Millsboro, which is less than 5 minutes from this property. For anyone who's not familiar with the site, I'd like to present a few exhibits that provide photographs of the existing views into and off of the property. Exhibit A, photograph number one, illustrates a view northwest to the property owned by Mount Air Farms, Inc. Photograph number two illustrates the view east across the property with the Nature Conservancy in the background. Photograph number three is a view west to the Mount Air facilities. And that is in this location right here. It's important to note that obviously the Mount Air facilities are concerned with this property and important that we buffer those. The facilities are really only located and visible portion of the site. They are located in this corner. The remaining portion of the Mount Air property is pretty much a wastewater disposal area and agricultural fields. Number four on this exhibit to my left is a view from Route 24 down Swan Creek, with our property on the left and the Mount Air property on the right. Photograph number one on this exhibit illustrates the view south from Route 24 onto the property. Number two is a view north from Route 24 onto the adjacent agricultural property. Number three is a view northeast to the existing subdivision. Number four is a view west across the property towards the Mount Air property. Our design goal for this project was to avoid blanketing the site with a traditional subdivision as permitted in the AR1 zone. Instead, propose a more superior, well-planned cluster community that is environmentally sensitive, takes advantage of the extensive waterfront views, and encourages community interaction. Other specific goals included retaining the shoreline vegetation by designing restrictive covenants, avoid any wetland impacts, minimize impervious area, provide significant open space for community use and groundwater recharge, and be sensitive to neighboring properties and their current land use, specifically Mount Air, the Nature Conservancy, and the adjacent agricultural properties. The Ferry Cove site plan before you utilizes the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone and proposes now 391 cluster single-family lots. Although this plan does illustrate 420, the revisions will be made to reduce that to 391. The average lot size is over 9,500 square feet. The gross density of this plan was 2.14 acres. Obviously, that would be reduced to two units per acre. The plan retains, as illustrated, over 77 acres of open space. The exhibit to my left illustrates the open space areas. The upland open space, or the light green, consists of 48.55 acres. The wetland open space consists of 23.08 acres, and that would be the yellow shade on the plan. And the pond or stormwater areas consist of 6.2 acres. To promote community interaction, the plan proposes numerous amenities that include a community clubhouse to be located on the river in this location, a swimming pool, sidewalks and street lighting throughout, jogging and walking paths around the perimeter of the property, neighborhood parks, a tot lot, bicycle path, a community pier off of the pool clubhouse area, and a riverside beach, which is an existing beach on the property. Our office has learned this week that the county is planning to serve this property with sewer in the future. As currently planned, the project has proposed or has done the planning to include a wastewater treatment facility and on-site disposal. Should that need to be something we pursue, the wastewater treatment facility is located in this location. The disposal area would be in this location. And Brian Carball is present tonight if there is any questions regarding the specific technology that would be needed. The developer plans to have Artesian provide water to this project. Artesian has responded in writing stating they are capable of providing water to this project. Other utility providers shall include DeMarva Power, MediaCom, and Verizon. Again, buffer considerations are an important element of the design of Ferry Cove. Buffer considerations include, for Mount Air, retaining the existing vegetation along the shoreline, especially in the area of their complex in this corner. For our meetings with the Nature Conservancy and their request, no lots abut the Nature Conservancy property. We've reserved this area for wastewater disposal and open space. Subdivision lots have been buffered, internal subdivision lots. The majority of lots back up to community landscaped areas. This open space shall be maintained by the Homeowners Association. A 50-foot buffer is proposed along Route 24. And finally, the wastewater treatment facility, if needed, is located within an existing woodland stand, which would serve as an immediate buffer. I would like to conclude by just reading a few statements about how the Ferry Cove project complies or addresses Chapter 99. Integration of the proposed subdivision into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape can be accomplished. The site development area contains excellent soils for development, very little existing vegetation that must be cleared, and a seasonal high water table of over 5 feet below the soil surface. The surrounding landscape is dotted by various land uses, which consist of agricultural, industrial, conservation, and residential. It is understood that this proposed community is located in the vicinity of land used for agricultural and industrial uses. Established and proposed buffers permit the integration of this community within the surrounding landscape. The design of Ferry Cove does not require any wetland impacts. Of the 391 proposed lots, only 5 building lots may require construction within a flood zone. The majority of the site is located outside of any flood zone. All wetlands and the majority of the existing vegetation have been retained. There are no historic or cultural resources on this property listed in the Natural Register of Historic Places. The proposed site plan preserves over 77 acres of open space, or 40%. Scenic views are retained by incorporating public open spaces areas along the shoreline. The development of Ferry Cove will require minimal tree and vegetation removal. All engineering design will focus on minimal grade changes and earthwork. The developer is cognizant of the adjacent property uses. Buffer shall be retained along Swan Creek and average over 100 feet to the shoreline. A proposed 50-foot buffer is again proposed along Route 24. Artesian, again, is planned to provide the proposed community with central water supply. The community currently plans to utilize an advanced community wastewater treatment facility, including nitrogen removal and on-site wastewater disposal. Environmental work has been completed and indicates that sufficient land area is available for disposal, and state agencies have responded that they concur with the findings. It's important to understand that the property is located now in the Oak Orchard expansion area, so when service becomes available, the community would utilize the inland-based regional facility operated by the county. Prevention of pollution of surface and groundwater is a priority in the design of the community. Individual septic systems obviously would be prohibited. A nutrient management plan will be completed to reduce nutrient runoff as required by state regulations. Open space and vegetation will not only assist in reducing nutrient runoff, but provide for groundwater recharge. Minimization of erosion and sedimentation shall be accomplished by incorporating required erosion and sediment control measures for the development of the project. Groundwater is more than 5 feet from the soil surface and should not be affected by the development of this project. The majority of this site is more than 20 feet above sea level, and the design of the stormwater will assure that post-development runoff does not exceed pre-development runoff. All stormwater designs shall be in accordance with Delaware sediment and stormwater regulations. All proposed roadways shall be designed in accordance with county and state standards. Dead end and cul-de-sac roads have been minimized. The Nature Conservancy owns the only abutting property, and therefore vehicular parcel connectors are not required. Proposed sidewalks, designated walking and jogging trails will allow for safe pedestrian movement within the site. Based upon our experience, the addition of this project should have a positive effect on area property values. Preservation and conservation of prime farmland is critical to the economy of Sussex County. The subject property is not prime farmland. The project consists of 156 acres of agricultural land. The site is composed of well-drained soils and excessively drained soils. As these soils tend to be droughty with respect to crop production, and they have agricultural limitation with respect for their need for irrigation. Mechanical irrigation measures have been necessary on this property to produce adequate crop yields. Area schools serving this project include Longneck Elementary, Sussex Central Middle School, and Sussex Central High School. Public buildings and facilities are within close proximity to this proposed community. A traffic impact study for this project was completed in September 2003. The study was based upon the project density of 550 units. The project has a density now of 391 units. The study was submitted to DLDOT, who found the TIS to conform with DLDOT rules and regulations for subdivision streets and other accepted practices and procedures. It was concluded that Route 24 was an acceptable level of service to support this project. The surrounding area, again, includes various land uses, which consist of agricultural, industrial, conservation, and residential. It is understood that the property is located in the vicinity of land used for agricultural and industrial purposes. It is anticipated that much of the uses and activities may, now or in the future, involve noise, dust, manure, and other odors, the use of chemicals, and nighttime operations. The use and enjoyment of Ferry Cove property will be expressively conditioned on acceptance of any annoyance and inconvenience which may result from such agricultural or industrial uses and activities. Agricultural land, land often produces significantly more sediment and nutrient runoff than any residential development. The adjacent waterways are an asset to this project and shall be a priority that they are protected. With that being said, I can take any questions you might have regarding the application or the site plan. If there are no questions, I would turn it over to Shannon Carmi.
All right, sir.
For the benefit of the commission, Rick's copied, and I'll make it available to you. There's a copy of the, it's an aerial, and it's just a Xerox, but it shows the property in the center, and it shows the one of the alignments for the 113 bypass as suggested by Delta.
It was supposed to be an attachment to the letter from Department of Transportation, but for some reason we didn't get it, so.
This is for you. It's an extra one. Good number.
The site's at the top of the page if you hold it so you can read it.
We can share one second.
And you can see.
So you can see it's the area pretty much in the center at the top of the page. The dark spots of woods on the Nature Conservancy property.
Before we call Ms. Carmine, I'd like Brian Carbel, who's now with Artesian Utility, to address integration of SOAR pending the availability of County SOAR. Brian.
Good evening. My name is Brian Carbel. I'm a professional engineer. I work from offices in Dover, Christiana, and just outside of Harbison now for Artesian Utility Development. I came here tonight to talk to you about the investigations that have been done on this parcel and how they show that we have plenty of wastewater management capability to serve this project with an on-site wastewater system. And then I sat down and saw your county engineer's memorandum, which says that he's ready to serve the project. And that's fine. Artesian Utility Development never has had any interest in interfering with the county's extension of sewer service. Yet we are available to help that integration as projects become come online, and the county may or may not be available to serve at the time that the project develops. My understanding, although the memorandum states that the infrastructure may be available, my understanding is that may not be available for 5 years or more. If that were to be the case and the project were ready to proceed, we would be glad to work with the county engineer's office to provide a temporary or interim wastewater management facility. Much of the wastewater infrastructure treatment facilities that we have available are somewhat modular and can be taken off-site and reused, utilized for future projects without a significant economic impact. The proposed disposal at this project is rapid infiltration. I think you've heard about rapid infiltration before, and there are a number of projects within the county. Rapid infiltration provides for minimal regrading of a site to create a series of level basins, which provide for infiltration of the wastewater. The area that Chris Carbel, my long-lost brother, identified along the side of the project here, shown in green, has been identified by soil scientists as suitable. That is the detailed soils work, which was reviewed and approved by DNRC in September of this year. Are there any questions?
Not at this time. We'd like you to go ahead and conclude your presentation, then we'll come back.
Thank you very much. And I'm supposed to introduce a young lady whose name I already forgot.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. For the record, I'm Shannon Carmine with the law firm of Sergovic and Ellis, and I am here tonight to discuss this project's compliance with the comprehensive plan. Before I get started, I'd just like to note something in an effort to eliminate any potential confusion. The application was submitted on behalf of Highland Development Corporation, and a lot of the booklet that was submitted for your review is from Ferry Cove LLC. They are basically alter egos of each other. Highland Development Corporation is the developing entity for this project, and Ferry Cove LLC is the actual title holder. Both are wholly owned by the same principals, and I just wanted to eliminate any confusion from the outset here. The applicant has proposed a subdivision under the cluster option, consisting of a gross area of 195.93 acres, which are now to be developed into 391 lots in Indian River 100, south side of Route 24, approximately 2 miles east of Millsboro, Delaware. As you're aware, the property is located in an AR1 zone, and under the future land use map of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan Update 2002, which from here on out I will just refer to as the plan to make things simpler, the project does lie within the environmentally sensitive developing district. The purpose of the environmentally sensitive district is to, quote, recognize the inland bays are a major resource of the county, and they must be protected from insensitive development. Over the past 2 decades, the plan observes and also confirms that the attractiveness of the inland bays has made it an ideal location for second homes, resort, and also retirement communities. The plan provides that the housing type, which is appropriate for this district, includes single-family detached homes with central water and wastewater facilities. The guidelines for density under the cluster option are 7,500 square foot minimum lots for single-family detached homes using central wastewater systems. Therefore, this project is under the density requirements with now 2 units per acre, when there are actually 4 units per acre, which are proposed by the comprehensive plan. As you're aware, the surrounding area consists of mixed uses. We have agricultural uses, residential uses, and of course the historic industrial use of the existing Mount Air plant. We also have Nature Conservancy, which adjoins the property as well. However, the property is located in a growth area, and it is now, we're happy to hear, it's part of the Oak Orchard Expansion Sewer District. Although there is no official date set for the availability of service to this property, as Mr. Carbaugh has stated, we plan to work with the county in the interim and provide some type of on-site facility to accommodate the needs of the community until that connection is possible. The approval of the Oak Orchard expansion by County Council on October 24, 2006 was evidence of the expected future growth of this area, which we believe will be able to meet by providing this superior subdivision design, which is attractive. It has plenty of amenities, and it should provide adequate housing for the expected growth. The plan, as Mr. Kalbar had stated earlier, provides for a minimum 50-foot buffer around the perimeter of the proposed project from all of the tidal wetlands. And there are also 100-foot buffers to be retained along Swan Creek. And also a 50-foot vegetated buffer is proposed along Route 24. However, only 4 lots in the community would have the minimum 50-foot buffer. The remaining lots have approximately a 100-foot buffer. The goals of the comprehensive plan are to, quote, encourage the use of design concepts which accommodate new and innovative lot configuration, result in efficient vehicular circulation and attractive parking, and also promote community interaction through a pedestrian-friendly development pattern. We believe that this development accomplishes those goals. This is a superior design to a standard subdivision, as it creates a large amount of open space by allowing the smaller 7,500 square foot lots. This design, as you can see, permits efficient vehicular circulation. It also promotes community interaction through the pedestrian-friendly development pattern. We have very few lots that actually back up to other lots. The great majority of the lots back up to landscaped community open space and other scenic views, and therefore approximately 90% of the lots back up to the open space as opposed to another lot. Only one lot has a direct view from the backyard of the existing Mount Air plant. No lots abut the conservancy as requested by Nature Conservancy, and there are no wetlands on any lots. The initial plans that were submitted did have a minimal portion of wetlands, non-tidal wetlands on some of the lots, and we did revise the plans, and they were submitted last Friday, to eliminate any wetlands from the lots. It's our opinion that this is an attractive layout, takes advantage of waterfront views. It's more than 40% open space, and that's based on how it's designed on the plan here. Once the design is revised to now accommodate only 391 lots, we'll actually have more than 40% open space. This community will offer numerous amenities. We will have walking paths, a pool, clubhouse, sidewalks, bicycle paths, tot lots, community pier, although not a marina, and even a riverside beach. The project has been designed to minimize any adverse impacts on properties that are directly adjacent to it. Like I said earlier, we have been in contact with Nature Conservancy, and they requested that no lots abut their property. Therefore, it will be a natural buffer there to accommodate their needs. Also, we have prepared and submitted for your review a set of draft restrictive covenants that will govern the community. The restrictive covenants include a special provision acknowledging the neighboring historic industrial use of the existing Mount Air plant, and also the wetlands and the agricultural uses, which is standard in restrictive covenants. Restrictive covenants also require the creation of a homeowners association, which will manage the project, including open spaces, amenities, the stormwater management areas, and the streets and sidewalks. We've also taken an additional step and submitted for your review a draft deed, which also puts any purchaser on notice that they will be buying property that is located in the vicinity of the existing Mount Air plant. And the deed just states the same language that is contained in the restrictive covenants, once again putting them on further notice of any potential odors, noises, late-night deliveries, anything of that nature that is part of the historic industrial use of that plant. The project will also not adversely impact the county, the neighborhood, or, like I said, the adjacent properties. In fact, we believe that it will enhance the community. One last point, as stated earlier, we're aware that DelDOT does oppose this project due to their potential interest in the land for their bypass purposes. However, it's our opinion that this is an inappropriate position of the state and is their attempt to basically artificially keep the property values down so that, for their own taking purposes. The state at this point in time has no specific plans for this property, or at least none that we're aware of. We are aware that there are very numerous properties that they're considering for their bypass plans. So therefore, it's one of many parcels that DelDOT's considering, and therefore their vacillating interest in numerous routes should not affect this applicant's right to use his land as he sees fit, as long as it's in compliance with local laws. In closing, we believe that this project complies with the comprehensive plan as well as the cluster option under the zoning ordinance. Therefore, we respectfully request that the commission approve the application. And we are all available for any questions if you may have them.
All right, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions. And Mr. Johnson, we'll start with you.
Thank you. I don't know who wants to brunt of my questions, so someone might want to start and direct where they should go.
Yes, first question. Somebody will jump up.
Okay, thank you. Did you all receive any feedback from Mount Air in terms of your proposed project?
We have received feedback. They obviously had questions about how our potential residents would blend with their use, and I think we've addressed that by saying we realize that Mount Air is there. We realize that Mount Air has been there for a long time, and it's going to remain there for a long time. We have made it abundantly clear in our efforts under the restrictive covenants and the proposed deeds to tell our potential customers and homeowners that they don't have a right to complain because Mount Air was there first.
Can I expand upon it? How about Delmarva Power Plant? Do you have the same working relationship with them?
If you wanted to expand our deed notice to that, we have not been contacted by Delmarva, I don't believe. And the Delmarva plant is
further down.
It's further down and away from that area, and it's what.
It doesn't appear that way when you ride by. That's all. It looks like it's right across.
You can see it from anywhere on
yeah.
the.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we did. Well, that's why we did those views from the land, so you could see what you see from the land looking out. And again, although there is a Delmarva tower located far in the distance, it really doesn't impact directly the views from most of the lots. And again, the as Shannon. The bulk of the Mount Air facility is right here. The only lot that even points towards their existing facility is lot 410. All the other lots point away from it. And again, when you get out past this point, this is their wastewater disposal and farm fields. So there's really just a small corner of Mount Air that is in close proximity to this, and there's already a residential use right there. And again, this is a wooded buffer existing, and this side is a wooded buffer existing, so that I think it's this view number two that shows, is that the right view?
This is actually, if this is from standing at the clubhouse area, and this view is actually standing out on the point of this property looking that's down right. the river. So it's really, you know, it's down, you can see it anywhere. I mean, you can see it from the beaches, but, you know, it's there, but it's not directly across from the property.
Sorry to interrupt.
It's quite art. There was reference earlier to a booklet. Was a booklet submitted to the commission other than this thing?
Mr. Johnson, there was one that was submitted, as I asked Mr. Abbott, the same thing. It looks like it was received in actually 2005.
Then we did a supplement on Friday, or Monday rather, at noon.
That was a letter.
Yeah, and that was a letter with restrictive covenants and the deed, which I reviewed.
Right, but those booklets were submitted a long time ago.
Addressing all the plus comments, things of that sort.
So you responded to the plus comments too?
Yeah, that's
that
all
would
in
be,
the
that would be in the
yes.
in the booklet. I thought there were multi booklet. Copies of the booklet supplied, but
I haven't seen one yet. I will, but I haven't yet.
They're there.
Okay. And I understand that the with the wetlands now you're proposing a 50-foot buffer for many wetlands. Is that
50-foot required tidal buffer setback that follows the entire shoreline, and it actually is within the set of drawings that shows that line, the setback line, on the plat that was resubmitted last Friday.
And Chris, isn't on Swan Creek, isn't the setback more like 100?
Yeah, the setback in this area is 100 feet.
100 foot from Swan Creek, right?
Until you get to this location here, and then it was reduced.
To 50?
To this point, yeah. Yes.
Just because of the curvature of the creek.
And are you aware that one? I have seen the plus comments tonight, but are you aware in the plus comments DENREC was suggesting 100 foot?
They
setback?
Did request a 100 foot buffer, and we did.
And your response is?
We complied with that for the majority of the property. Probably, I would say 75% of the property does have an average of 100 foot buffer.
But not all of it?
Not down by the point. We did not.
Okay.
Is that something, not to interrupt, Mr. Johnson, but is that something you could address with the lots that you're, yeah?
The more logical thing to do, as I indicated earlier, all the lots, one of the design features is even the internal lots have a common buffer area in the backyard so that you don't have double-facing lots. The only lots that don't have that feature are lots 256 through 302, and the logical thing would be to revise those lots and provide the same kind of a landscape buffer and reduce the volume there and possibly drop off four of the lots in the front. That would be my design criteria, but again, that's up to land planners.
But I think that one, the 50-foot buffer requirement is the county's requirement, and we respect the NRC's concerns, but the attractiveness of those lots is proximity to the water, and in order to get lots that front the water, we need to keep the 50-foot for a couple of lots.
When you communicated with the Nature Conservancy, I understand the part about not having any lots adjoining their property. Did they have any other comments to you, such as why not donate it to us and we'll maintain it in its natural state? Well,
I think they always make that pitch.
I'm just checking. I don't.
I mean, I think the only other concern they did have was, having any pets run over onto the property, and again, as far as posting signs or whatever that would be needed, that does not encourage that or allow that, is no problem at all. We would continue to work with the Nature Conservancy to do what we can to make this a suitable use next to the preserve. But there was some landscaping. They looked for landscaping, and we have incorporated some substantial landscaping into the plan. I think they wanted to see some wooded connectors, which we tried to incorporate with these open space areas. 3 years ago, it was a little while ago, but there wasn't anything other. The most major concern was any lots abutting their property.
Okay. And I'm assuming you all did a whole bunch of different kinds of studies. You did the soil studies and you did the wetland studies.
Yeah, those are all in the booklet.
Those are all in this thing.
And I just assumed that there were five or six copies delivered. But
JD letters have been approved. They're in there. All the study findings.
Traffic impacts.
Have been completed, of course.
How about a
work for wastewater disposal?
How about a smell study?
Smell study? Well, we've been there quite often.
I was there Saturday, and it was. I didn't eat chicken that night. Yeah. I'll tell you that. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I digress.
Right. What it is.
It is what it is, right. And you're proposing some community docks or piers, is that correct? Or what?
We have.
Tell me a little bit about your beach and what you're proposing there.
We have illustrated here plans for a community dock, not anything. You know, if somebody puts a boat in the Indian River somewhere, and once you come up to the property, pick up people that live in the community, provide something for that, something for people to walk out to if they want to fish, sit on the dock. Again, it's not a marina. It would be for a maximum of four transient slips. And again, as far as the beach, there is an existing sand beach there that's existing. It's a good amenity as it is. and we'd want to retain that and make that part of the amenity package.
So transient meaning just people riding by, wanting to stop by? And
right, want to stop by, pick up maybe, you know, go put their boat in. I know I've done this many times. Put my boat in at a local ramp, come pick up other family members, and go out from there.
Okay. I don't have any more questions at this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
Where's the beach?
It's right, middle on here.
Right near the clubhouse.
There's no wetlands, actually. Once you get past this point, it's an upland condition, basically through this, you know, the waterfront.
Okay, and the 50-foot buffer, you're a 100-foot buffer on the creek to what point? And then where does
now
it?
Now to this point right here.
And then all the way around it drops to 50?
Right here what we have, we've taken the lots to, that's on your plat. The lots go to the non-tidal wetland line. And then they stop. We revised the plan so that there were no non-tidal wetlands on the lots. We did have a minimum. There's only 1.9 acres of non-tidal wetlands throughout the whole site along the whole shoreline. But we took that 1.9 acres out of all the lots along the perimeter. Inside that non-tidal wetland, there is a tidal wetland line. Off of that tidal line, there is a 50-foot buffer that would have to be basically the rear lot setback for any of these lots from 368 on.
Okay, so there's essentially a 50-foot buffer,
yes,
from 368 all there.
Right.
Okay. Have the entrances been approved? Have both of those entrances have been?
There hasn't been entrances approved. The plans have been submitted to DLDOT for review. There's, you know, they did request two entrances, so that's been accommodated by this plan. They've made recommendations that should this project be approved, what would need to happen as far as, you know, left turn lanes, right turn lanes, in and out, you know, things of that sort. And I think the only other off-site improvement, you know, other than improvements throughout 24, obviously, would be the recommendation to, I think, provide a traffic light at Route 30 and 24, which, as in the response to the PLUS comments, we said we would provide.
What will that light green area look like if you had to provide sewer? What will that look like?
The area within the light green is all suitable for wastewater management, or majority of it is suitable for wastewater management from about this point back, and then also some up in this area. The type of wastewater management would be rapid infiltration, which takes that area and levels it out and creates just a 2-foot high berm between areas of wastewater application. And then we fence that with a pasture style fence. One of the nearby projects just down the road and up a little bit is Stonewater Creek. And it becomes looking like a pasture area. It's the little bits of berm, again, they're only about 2 foot high, so flat areas with small berm areas between them, fenced with, we usually use the white PVC fence. It looks like I've always called it a pastoral area.
Thank you. No further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Cordy?
Lots 307, 308, 308, 309, which is up there by the Nature Conservancy?
Yes.
What's the distance between the lot lines and the?
It's 25 feet.
25 feet from the lot lines to the Conservancy?
The Nature Conservancy.
Is the Nature Conservancy?
At the closest point.
Is Nature Conservancy under preservation, Mr. Knight, you know?
Is it a preservation district?
Yes.
Yeah, that's my knowledge. I'm pretty sure it's not.
And I noticed you got some, you got quite a few trees in some of the lots. What's your perspective on them as far as saving them? Yeah, I see trees along 361, 360, all that around there.
360. The plan would be to retain those again by covenants. These lots are plenty deep. The only, you know, there might be on three lots, I would suspect, lots 351, 352, and 353. That may require some clearing, but other than that, there's significant area to provide a house without clearing. And as part of the covenants, we would want to restrict any clearing.
Yeah, if they're not in the covenants, we'll add them. I think they are. There's already provision against cutting trees, but if they're not in that set, it's a simple amendment.
One more thing. You're going to have to do away with some lots. And I don't know about your other commissioners, but I like to see some of the lots along the Route 24 eliminated. Four on each entrance would probably and move it back some and have the rest of it.
That was one of the logical places where I thought.
I do too.
Yeah,
I think that would look a lot better.
Keep it
isolated in the back, landscape buffer along the front. I think it would look a lot better.
Right, I agree.
Well, John also stated that the possibility of that one strip of two rows of lots that back up to each other could be a green space. He may lose a couple lots by doing it, putting that green space in.
I think we can.
Wider and less depth problem.
My calculation, there were 46 lots in there, and we have to reduce it down by 29 lots. So half the lots there and the four lots in the front should probably accommodate it.
We've seen a lot of plans lately that are moving houses away from the main road.
Right, and I
trees in there.
We agree with your recommendations, since we have to lose some lots anyway.
We tried to accommodate that to a certain extent. I mean, we have,
yeah,
this is 150
that, yeah,
feet basically,
right,
here. I mean, we don't want as well, a great number of homes on here. Drop 24.
That's all the questions I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if I go back to my exhibit book, which I did receive 1-2 years ago, in that there will be an environmental assessment report?
Yes, it's a very comprehensive report. I went through it again this afternoon to make sure everything was covered, and just about everything that I could think of was covered.
I noted in this letter from the Department of Transportation, they'd mentioned an eagle nest nearby. I guess that will be...
That wasn't in their original. Was that today's report?
September 21.
There was an investigation in the property, and there were no endangered.
Yeah, there is an analysis of.
It says on the south side of the river.
There is an analysis in the report as to the nature of both wildlife and birds performed by an appropriate. Staff person from nobody mentioned anything to that effect.
If it was south of the river, it may be the same eagle's nest that was referenced on Wharton's Bluff across from the Indian River Elementary School.
Maybe.
Or Millsboro Elementary, whatever it's right there on the road to Dagenburg.
Yeah, eagles don't really mind people that much. There's an eagle's nest at the 10th hole at King's Creek, and we all love them.
I do think U.S. Fish and Wildlife does have certain guidelines within their primary nesting zone and their secondary nesting zone. So all I wanted to really know was, there is an environmental assessment report in my binder.
Yes, there is.
When I find it, yes. And we established that the sandy beach is up to the east of the property, the south and east, up in that area. That'd be where most of the amenities will be.
Yeah. I mean, there was no, again, there's the wetlands are non-existent in that area. For people wanting to get to the water, minimizes any impact to any of the wetlands. Again, we have no wetland impacts proposed for this project.
So if people get off the sandy beach, the mud will slow them down from getting down to the river, wouldn't that be?
Well, accurate? Basically we're allowing people to have access to the water. What they choose to do, I can't really tell you. Fish swim, whatever. I'm not sure.
Will your restrictive covenants also notice that there are hunting activities nearby?
If they don't contain those now, we have the standard agricultural protection. We enhance that for the industrial agricultural use. we'll be happy to enhance them further for hunting on, but does the Conservancy allow hunting on the property?
Yes.
They do? Okay, we'll add that there will be hunting on neighboring property, just to form
one. Actually, a duck blind with fresh shotgun shells and cigarette butts on the Swan Cove property, right at the mouth of Swan Creek. I don't smoke. and
are you speaking by
familiarizing myself with the site.
All right, we'll definitely add that restrictive covenant notice then.
Would the applicant, would you consider adding to your amenities either some type of a pet or a dog park that would maybe help keep the pets from going over to the Nature Conservancy area?
No problem. There's plenty of space to do that in that light green area, and particularly when the county sewer goes in, that we don't really use that much of that area for sewer infiltration anyway. We'd be happy to do that.
Thank you. No other questions.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Lang.
I don't have any question, but I was trying to figure out when Mr. Sergovic first started this evening, he had made reference to the calculation, or maybe it was his math capabilities or something. And I think he was probably looking at the ordinance allows a standard subdivision to have 20,000 square foot lots if it's in a sewer district under the AR. So I'm assuming that's probably where the calculation switch got.
Yeah, that's where it came.
But then the environmentally sensitive says it's 2 per acre, basically. So no, I didn't have any questions.
Okay. Mr. Counts?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Mr. Robertson?
No questions, aside from just a statement that I did review the restrictive covenants and they comply with the county's requirements, with the wetlands notice, the ag notice, homeowner association, that type of thing.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thank all of you. We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-91 Highland Development Corporation? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-91? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision or you may call the office in the morning.